Anything else?
It's $1,000 or a love offering, whichever you can afford. All right, this is the Center Update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a little bit about what goes behind the scenes, what's not always apparent by just coming here on Sundays. And so today I want to mention, reiterate about our membership meeting. It's orientation. For those of you who are interested in becoming a member of Unity Spiritual Center, we have a phased approach. The first phase is community member, and we ask you to say yes to just three things: deepening your spiritual path, saying yes to some form of meaningful involvement, and saying yes to just telling us what you'll give in terms of your support so we can count on you. And then there's the governing member role, which will come online next year. So it'll be a short meeting, just about 15 minutes after church, about 11:30. And so if you're interested in membership, check it out. And the last announcement will be a little commercial for next Saturday.
Seen a process be so revealing, and having been a social worker for 40 years and done so many other trainings, I believe this has been one of the most profound experiences.
I have found in this Q process a person that was largely lost in my life, and has caused me to laugh and to cry and to unabashedly love, and I'm talking about my little self.
The result of going through this for me is that I'm better able to notice things that trigger me, and to see those as opportunities to respond in, with opportunities to respond in different ways, that I don't have to just react the same way that I have reacted.
The value to me from this program was starting to peel away the layers that I have put over my pain. I really wish I had had this experience and started this work before I ever became a parent, because I think I could have been a better job of parenting if I had dealt with my own issues first.
My name is Anne, and I just sincerely hope that everyone in the congregation gets a chance and the opportunity to do this workshop, because it will really change your life. And I really find, as this is going on, that when small things present themselves in my life, I'm thinking first about the Q qualities, and so they're beginning to sink down deep into my consciousness, and I know that that is such a much more positive way to handle anything that happens in your life.
All right. So the Art and Practice Q Process Workshop, it comes with a new body. All I can say. Now, what was I talking about? No, the Q Process Workshop. So I got to finish, so you let me finish, okay? So the Q Process Workshop is really, really important. It's also a qualification for becoming a governing member. So if you're interested in someday becoming a part of the internal partnership, the star chamber of Unity Spiritual Center, if you're really wanting to get there, you got to do the Q process first, okay? And so we've been talking, it's been part of our theme, transformation, and the quickest way to get to the next level is to really get in touch with what is running you unconsciously. And so if you want to find out about all those programs that are undermining your capability of manifesting your destiny, then please consider coming to the Art and Practice Workshop. With that said, we'll get ready for our meditation experience. And we're happy to have Jeff and Sue and Brian with us today as our special musical team. Thank you so much for your service for us today. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to sing I Am, I Am. I am that I am.
So this is our meditation time, and I invite you to sit comfortably, and if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes and to begin with establishing a rhythmic pattern of breathing. And so just breathing in and out for the same duration. And as you breathe in, you might visualize the breath entering into your heart space. And when you release, just visualize the breath, your exhale, from the solar plexus, just a few inches below the heart center. And there are very real practical benefits of this simple exercise, just breathing in and out for the same duration, visualizing the breath entering the heart, leaving the solar plexus. And we can amplify the benefits of this practice by bringing into our awareness someone or something that we appreciate. And so consider now a special friend, a child, your life partner, a beloved pet, a fond memory. Just whatever serves for this purpose of bringing forth the felt sense of appreciation. Go ahead, open your heart. Just allow that greater sense of God's love and light and life to be a part of this moment, part of your awareness. And whatever you can find to appreciate has this capacity to bring all of our self into alignment with that movement of spirit that is right now seeking to bring forth our highest and best. And there's less so much for us to do, but more for us just to know and to be. To be aware that our life is experienced and lived from the inside out. That when we understand this process, we can align ourselves with that activity of the universe that is bringing us into the greater expression of who and what we've come here to be. And for all intents and purposes, this alignment happens best in the silence. So let's move now into that place, that quiet place, as if we're on the edge of our seat listening, leaning in to the stillness of this moment in the silence. And as we begin to bring our attention back to this moment, this time, this place, gathering up the sensations of our physical self, awareness of where we are, who we are, but carrying with us the greater awareness of the truth, that we are anchored in this infinite and eternal activity of spirit that is moving in and through our lives right now. And we give thanks for that good that is making its way into our life and for the expressions of spirit wherever we look. For this we are grateful. Thank you, God. So it is.
Wow. Thank you. Now, was that a taste of Billboard on Bernard? No, that was a gift, just a gift. Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I just got back last night from a week at Unity Village teaching a class, and it's always wonderful to go back to the mothership and to hang out with friends and former coworkers and reconnect with people, and to hang out with youth ministry folks, because that's what the class was. If you can imagine a class of 24 people who are youth ministry teachers, youth ministers, youth directors, ministerial students, there was a whole range. And we played this week. And we learned and we worked. It was a lot. But anyway, it was a wonderful week, but I'm happy to be back. Yeah. So, today we are on week 4 of a series based on the book by Paul Farini entitled Enlightenment for Everyone. It's there for all of us. So far, we have looked at what happens when we search outside of ourselves, looking for what we can only find where? Within ourselves, yes. What happens when we do that? And when we stop and turn within, we find it here. That's when we find our inner light, our inner fireworks that we can share with the world. And when we find it in here, where else do we find it? Out there. When we find it in here, we see it out there. And as we become present to the now moment, experiencing the light within ourselves, we see behind the mask. We see behind the mask. We see the light in all beings. And so our talk today is called Behind the Mask. You know, my mother loved to collect masks. She had a giant collection of them. And when she, especially tribal and native masks, she had walls filled with these masks. They were wonderful. And when she died, I got 2 of them. There's my Buddha and my native guy. And it always fascinated me to watch her, to look at her collection. It was just so unique and so interesting that all these cultures and civilizations around the world are all had masks. You know, it was this kind of universal thing. And I wondered about that. You know, it occurred to me that part of the reason for their popularity or their finding them throughout civilization is because of the archetypal story that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. That we're spirit in disguise, right? You know what I'm talking about here? Spiritual beings having a human experience. And the mask is that human part of us. Bless you. Some form of mask represents every ethnicity, whether it's been painted on, tattooed, carved, sculpted. Masks tell a history, people's history. They celebrate events. In religious ceremonies, they're used to teach cultural lessons through drama. So throughout history, wearing a mask has had meaning and significance and could represent a new and different way of expressing yourself beyond what you had previously expressed. Native people had 2 forms of face painting. There was the one that was frightening the enemy, right? You ever donned that mask? You ever worn war paint, metaphysical war paint? Right? It masks our own fear. You know, it's designed to scare someone else, but it masks our own fear. And that mask can conceal the superhero that we are. You see lots of masked heroes throughout time. But you know what? There was also the painted face that showed the beauty of the individual spirit. And it showed all the others in the tribe what was within them. It represented a rite of passage. It signified a growing into a greater expression of who they were. So this was not a mask at all. It was a window. It was a portal into the deeper truth that lies within. It symbolized the true self. And it actually unmasked the egoic defensiveness that and allowed something new and greater to emerge. If you remember Jim Carrey in the movie The Mask, he gained these superpowers when he put it on. And the symbol of the greater self can give us permission to be other than what we typically are, and it can be very liberating. Can we grow into? Because what's happening is that we feel safe enough to step into who we've come here to be, to step out of our comfort zone of these masks that we wear. But stepping into who we have come here to be, it can be very uncomfortable. Have you noticed this? We have to kind of grow into it. Sometimes I wear a mask called perfectionism. And it happens like this. I can't do this. I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. I don't measure up. Anybody else know that one? So what is needed is a symbol of the truth behind the mask. In my case, guess what I use as my symbol to take me beyond that mask? It's called I am adventurous. Whenever I think that I can't do it, that I can't measure up, that it's, what if I make a mistake? I remember that I have come here to be adventurous, and I wear that. It's like my spiritual wardrobe, and then I can step out. I have to tell you that every Sunday, I remind myself that I have come here to be adventurous. I do. Get up there, Jane. Remember, this is an adventure. And when I do that, I start to look through that lens, do you see? It does become an adventure, a wonderful adventure. And we all have that ability. You know, one of my classmates in ministerial school was a man named Gunther, who was from Germany. He came over from Germany to go to school. And he was very proper. He was very self-controlled. And he didn't get jokes very well, especially if they were puns or play on words, because English was his second language, and he was always confused and trying to figure it out and very serious. Once, when he first arrived at school, he went to the Walmart, the local Walmart, with one of my classmates to buy some shampoo. And he kept telling her that he needed shampoo for fat hair. And she said, "What, you want thicker hair? Is that what you want?" No, he would insist. "Fat hair. It's for fat hair." And after going back and forth, they finally got it was for oily hair. Now, because of his inability to understand, you know, the idioms of the language, he got a bit of a reputation for being serious, for never laughing, for missing the joke, for being very straight-laced. Now, Gunther, unbeknownst to the rest of us, started taking clown lessons from someone who had a clown ministry. And he told no one he was doing this. He just mysteriously went off to his class every week. But one day, he participated in a special event at our school, and he came dressed as a clown. And we were all wondering, who is that clown? He was a crazy, wild guy, just insane. And we all were questioning, who's the clown? Did they hire a clown to come in? No one guessed it was Gunther hiding underneath that. Nobody. When we found out, we just couldn't believe, like behind this mask, he turned into a totally different personality. It was amazing. What a transformation. Why? Because it gave him permission to lower the shields of the inner mask that he was hiding behind, you see? And it allowed him to bring out the truth, the playfulness within him, the joy within him that was just wanting to emerge and was just hiding behind that. So he was able to connect with this childlike essence and really express the joy and the laughter that was within him. It was safe for him to come out and play. But you know, it's our ego that thinks it's not safe, right? It's our ego that says we have to hide behind this mask because it's not safe to come out. And you know, we can be secretly afraid that if people knew who I really was, I wouldn't have a friend in the world, right? If you really knew me, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. We have these kind of thoughts that, you know, roam around, whether they're conscious or unconscious. Can you relate to what I'm talking about here? Or is it just me? And when we're doing that, we hide behind our everything is fine mask. Have you ever said to someone, I'm fine, when you're not? I'm fine. In that case, it means frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So in a sense, you're telling the truth when you say it. So how does this mask appear? Well, we're certainly born without one, aren't we? Look at a baby. There's no mask there. But this masking process happens to us as we grow older. It's part of growing up, part of being the human beings, part of our human condition. We take on a persona of what we think is acceptable to show the world, and we hide the parts that we think are not acceptable. We learn at a very young age what those are. And we can think of the ego as a persona, a cultural mask that we put on and we show to the world. And we wear these masks in our everyday life. It's our social face we show to the world. And the mask changes depending on who we're with. Would you agree? We might have a different mask when we're with our family than when we're at work. Maybe. We might have a different one when we're out with our childhood friends than when we're out on a first date. Or out with our, you know, our great aunt, Martha. I don't know where that came from. But you get my drift here. The mask changes depending on who we're with. And there are some people that we feel more safe coming out from behind the mask than others. But how present are we when we are living our lives expressing through the mask? Because that's being who we are not, right? It's not the truth of who we are. How present are we to life when we're doing that? As the New Thought minister David Ault says, we aren't living a life for managing multiple personas. We have multiple persona disorder. So our life situations can mask or unmask as part of a defense system of thought that is our ego. It's egoic thinking to keep us safe from the world, right? An ego that sees the world as a fearful place. We have to defend ourselves. So here's a question for you to consider. How loyal are you to the mask that you wear and believe yourself to be? How loyal are you to that mask? Something to consider. Because it's not the truth of who we are. And we need to overcome fear to go beyond the mask. But the exciting thing is this. When we do, what emerges is who we've come here to be. It's our authentic self that comes forth. Isn't that cool? Really. But it takes courage to move beyond it, to express our true selves. It's a risk. Because what can happen? What can happen when we step out of what we've believed ourselves to be and what others have believed us to be? People around you can ask, what's going on with you? This isn't you. What's happening? You're not being yourself. What's gotten into you? We absolutely could not understand Gunther. It was like, that's not Gunther. You know, how could that be him? We didn't know what to make of it. So what happens, for instance, if you relinquish the role of dutiful daughter or devoted son or long-suffering spouse or rescuing mom? What happens? John Bradshaw, if you're familiar with his work, he talks about how the family system is like a mobile. And when one person moves out of the role, what happens? The whole thing just guts out of whack. It's unsettling for those around us when we step out from behind the mask. And it might look a little bit like this. Whoops. There we go.
Bob, thank you for coming in today.
Well, when HR says they want to see you, we don't really have much of a choice, do we? What's up?
Bob, we have had several complaints filed against you.
What? Complaints? What do you mean?
Calm down. First of all, we don't know if they're true or not. That's why we wanted to hear your side of the story. But all the complaints allege that you have been taking your mask off here at work. Have you been taking your mask off?
Yeah, I have been. It's true.
Why? Oh, my God. Why would you do that? Why would you take your mask off?
Because I am tired of hiding behind this mask. I want people to see the real me.
Bob, trust me when I say nobody at Acme Incorporated has any interest in the real you. None. This is not some sort of hippie commune. This is a professional workplace, and we have no curiosity whatsoever in who you really are.
Look, do I need my union rep here?
Well, that's entirely up to you. And it depends on your answer to this question. Are you going to take your mask off again?
Well, what about casual Fridays? Can I take it off on casual Fridays?
No. No, Bob. Masks on all the time.
But I want to be transparent and free and open, and I can't do that with a mask on. I can't tell the truth of my soul with a mask on.
Bob, you've worked here for a long time, and I think you know that from the executive boardroom down, we have zero interest in the truth. And certainly not in the truth of your soul.
But what about you? You. Do you care about the truth?
What do you mean?
You and I have worked together for 22 years, and I have been in love with you since the first day we worked together. Since the first day we met 22 years ago.
What's wrong?
We've been working together for 22 years, and I don't even know your first name.
It's Priscilla.
Priscilla. Priscilla. Oh, God. What a beautiful name, Priscilla.
Bob, you see, I've been in love with you, too. The whole time. The whole 22 years since the first day, every minute of every day.
It's these stupid masks. They hide who we really are. These masks have wasted 22 years of our lives. Priscilla.
Bob.
We have found our way to love and happiness.
Because we've tossed away our masks.
Do you see what can happen when you throw away the mask? How long have you two been married, by the way? 22 years?
No. 13.
Huh? Thank you. That was awesome. Ah. The Jesuit priest, Richard Rohr, talks about the two halves of life. And it's not like there's a line down the middle at 50 or something. It's not, you know, the first half of life can continue till you're 90, with someone else, the second half of your life can start when you're 25. There's nothing chronological about it. They are simply two different aspects of living. The first half of life is about creating a healthy, strong, stable ego. And the second half of life is about transcending that limited identity. Do you see? So imagine relinquishing the use of a mask to hide who we are and instead stepping into the reality of our spiritual essence. Can you imagine? Really stepping into who we've come here to be. That part of us that the world doesn't see. Those gifts. The talents that we bring to this planet to share for the good of all, just waiting to emerge. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Those of you who are in Reverend David's class on spiritual gifts may be discovering that there is something amazing within you that's wanting to come forth. And when we use those gifts, we're being who we've come here to be. We can't force this to happen. It's not about pressuring life to reveal itself to us. That's like trying to open a rose with a hammer. It has to emerge. So we don't want to rip off the mask. Well, you guys did a good job of doing that. It's one way to do it. But we want to move beyond it, you see. We want to move beyond it by transcending this small self that we have believed ourselves to be. Because it's not who we are. If you get nothing else from today's talk, get this. There is nothing you have to add to yourself to be who you've come here to be. Nothing. It's about going beyond our beliefs in a small self. Our belief that if I make a mistake, there's something wrong with me. Inadequacy, unworthiness, whatever that is. It's getting beyond it. And the value of a spiritual community like this is that it's a safe place to do that. To open up, to allow others to really see your true self. Because we weren't just plunked here fully developed on this planet. You know, we're growing, we're evolving, we're learning. Allowing our minds to experience life on this planet. Allowing our souls to experience life on the planet. So, for those of you who have done the art and practice of living with nothing and no one against you, the Q process, we might think of the egoic mask that we wear as the shadow card, right? And if you haven't done that, there's one coming up this week. You've got opportunity to do it. And we can think of this window through which we can actually view the world from who we've come here to be as the Q card. Those Q qualities. What is on your Q card that can be an antidote for you from wearing the mask? Think about that in your own life. Or what is a quality within you, a spiritual quality within you that you can bring forth that can help you and serve as the antidote to that limiting mask? As I mentioned, one of mine is I am adventurous. So have you reached the second half of your life? There are those of us who know we have. I'm wondering. So listen to these words from Brené Brown and see if they resonate. I'll invite you, if you choose, to close your eyes and just listen to these words. There's about three paragraphs here. See if she's speaking to your heart. She says, I think midlife is when the universe gently places her hands upon your shoulders, pulls you close, and whispers in your ear, I'm not screwing around. It's time. All this pretending and performing, these coping mechanisms that you've developed to protect yourself from feeling inadequate and getting hurt, they have to go. Your armor is preventing you from growing into your gifts. I understand that you needed these protections when you were small. I understand that you believed your armor could help you secure all the things you needed to feel worthy of love and belonging, but you're still searching. Time is growing short. There are unexplored adventures ahead of you. You can't live the rest of your life worried about what other people think. You were born worthy of love and belonging. Courage and daring are coursing through you. You were made to live and love with your whole heart. it's time to show up and be seen. Let's breathe that whole thing in. Does that resonate with you? Can you feel like it's time? It's time. It's time to show up and be seen. So are you ready to grow beyond the mask?
Yes.
Are you ready to step into being who you've come here to be?
Yes.
Take the time to go within yourself, to discover your feelings, your talents, those cute qualities within you, your desires. We are all here to shine our light, and as we see beyond the mask, the light is no longer obscured. And on the spiritual path, we discover there's no need for the masks. There's no need. When we connect with that place where we experience the oneness of God, where we feel the unconditional love that we are, what is there to hide? The truth is revealed through love and compassion. And that shifts our perception to one of seeing the world differently, not a fearful attacking place, but going beneath the apparent discord, experiencing the unified field, the oneness of life. And we want to have total compassion for ourselves. Are you with me? Self-compassion. Total compassion for ourselves, for others, because then we go beyond the boundaries and really experience the oneness of life. Playing small serves no one, no one. So I invite all of us to let go of this small self mask that we think we need to wear and let that truth blossom. Stop hiding behind the small identity that we've bought into. Now, do you know how you can identify the masks in your life? Are you ready? During moments when you are triggered by something. If you find yourself reacting to something, someone's words, a judgment, something like that, take a moment and realize this is a mask. This mask is getting, you know, moving around. Take a look at what it might be. You see, for me, if I am afraid I'm going to make a mistake, if something happens where I feel like I made a mistake, that's where that mask of perfectionism shows up. And I recognize it. And now I can change into being who I've come here to be. So I invite us all to be on that process, on that journey this week of identifying times when the mask is showing and stepping into the reality of who you are. And instead, let who you really are, who you've come here to be, shine forth. Are you with me?
Yes.
God bless.